Pastor, you can pray for me.
Father, I pray this morning that you speak mighty and glorious and spirit-driven words through your servant, Arthur.
Please, Father.
Lord, we pray this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's an old Saturday Night Live sketch back in the day. Now, back in the day means, well, I could stay awake long enough to see, late enough to see that. When Chris Farley, maybe some of you might remember Chris Farley, the sort of rather obese comedian, great, great comedian though, was portraying the tropical storm El Nino as a Mexican wrestler. And so Chris Farley goes, "I am El Nino, the most powerful storm wrestler in the world." And he goes on, and of course, it's really very funny. But he ends the sketch by saying this. But for those of you who do not understand and do not habla español, El Niño means the Niño. Well, that's not really complete, is it? The gospel reading this week begins in many respects the same way. Here's how it begins. They, Jesus and the disciples, came to Jericho. As he and his disciples were leaving, a large crowd was leaving there. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the wayside. Now, the analogy to El Nino is this, that Mark introduces Bartimaeus as son of Timaeus. Now, for those of you who don't habla Espanol or don't habla Aramaic, Bartimaeus is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So what Mark has basically said is, son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. He's making a little joke. But he's also making a point. He's making a point because, you see, Mark, our gospel writer, is explaining to his audience what this means. And you see, because Mark's gospel is written for Gentile converts, and for Roman believers, not for people who speak Hebrew or Aramaic. And so he's writing in Greek, but he puts in these Aramaic phrases because that's probably what Jesus was speaking. In that day, Hebrew was the language of the more intelligentsia, and Aramaic was more the everyday language of the people of the street. And so he's doing that to emphasize that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he's doing. And he's giving them the Aramaic because it's important that they hear some of those words to get the intention of them. Now, here are a couple of examples. Mark's gospel does this throughout his gospel because, again, he's writing in Greek, but it's always some Aramaic phrases that he then interprets. When Jesus raises the little girl from the dead, that's in Mark 5, he says this, Talitha kum, which in Aramaic for little girl, get up. So he speaks in Aramaic there, the healing words. When he heals a deaf mute in Mark chapter 7, he says, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, which means open up. Again, when Jesus calls out from the cross, he says his words, which we all know from the Passion Week. He says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is, in fact, Jesus quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, why is Mark putting in these Aramaic words and then translating them? Is just trying to show how much he knows? And he's trying to get people into the understanding of who Jesus is as the Son of God, who Jesus is as the Son of David. Now, if you remember hearing the gospel a moment ago, that Timaeus, I may call him that, son of Timaeus Jr., how about that? in fact, recognizes Jesus as son of David. So here's a little aside now. So Bartimaeus is calling out to Bar David. You get it? So he's making that point. And Bartimaeus is crying out to Bar David, and in the same way that just as I tried to get to the children, that he recognizes him with his heart. He recognizes him not with his eyes or with his other senses, but with his heart. Okay, why do we care? Well, we care because the words matter, and the word matters. The word matters. When Jesus raises the little girl, he touches her first by taking her by the hand. You see, now Jesus is not writing a Saturday Night Live skit. He's doing this so that people might recognize Jesus as the Son of God. So now here he is. He raises the little girl. He takes her by the hand. He touches her first, and then he says, Talitha kum. When he heals the deaf man, a deaf and mute man, he puts his fingers in his ears, and he touches his tongue, and he says, Ephphatha, which means open. Now, not here, but for the blind man of Jericho, Jesus simply speaks the word. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't use any something other extra thing to do the healing. He just simply says, it is so. Your faith has made you well. He's healed by the word. Now, the method of Jesus' healing is important. Now, let me say something. Hold on just for a moment now, so before you turn me off. Jesus didn't heal everybody. Now, everyone that he healed was healed. But when he went into a crowd, he just, I mean, if he came here, folks, he wanted to heal us all, he'd be here all day, wouldn't he? Because we all need some healing of some sort. He didn't heal everyone. Everyone he healed was for an example. It was a revelation of who he was and how he was the Messiah, the Bar David, the Son of God. That's what he did. So when he raised a little girl, a dead girl from the dead, Talitha kum, it showed that he was Lord over death. When he healed the deaf mute, Ephphatha, it shows that he is Lord over the physical part of the world. Now here, as he heals Bartimaeus with simply a word, he simply declares it, speaks it into being, it shows in fact that he is the word of creation. You see how the messianic revelation grows. Lord over death, Lord over the physical world, Lord over the spiritual world, and now the word, the Lord of creation. It reminds us from Psalm 94:9, which says this, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who made the eye, shall he not see? In other words, the one who made it can also remake it. The one who made you can also remake you. And so the phrase that Jesus used was, your faith has made you well. Now, that's an important phrase in Scripture. It's one that we know well, those of us who study our Scriptures. It's one that we know well. Why? Because it was used most importantly for the woman who had the issue of blood. Remember the woman who had the issue of blood? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she did, and he was surprised by that. He turned around and said, who has touched me, and so forth. Then he told her, he said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The same thing happened in Luke 17 when he healed 10 lepers. 10 lepers were healed. They all ran off rejoicing. One leper returned and said, thank you. What did Jesus say to him? Your faith has made you well. 10 lepers were healed. One was made well. I hope you get the point. So healing is not just wellness. And wellness is over and above healing. Your faith has made you well. Jesus is the one who heals. Well, it is who heals, but that healing is received by faith. Jesus declares it so. It's the same thing as on the cross. Now, see, this is going to keep sliding, okay? It's the same thing as on the cross. And that is that when Jesus says, you are forgiven, he declares it. He declares that we are forgiven, but how does it happen to us? We receive it by faith. We trust it. We trust it, in fact, that we have been forgiven. We have been cleansed. We have been set free. And so that's what happens here. Here, what's happening now is he declares it. He declares that your faith has made you well, and it's received by Bartimaeus as by faith. And it can be received by us by faith. Now, of course, we want to connect faith and healing, don't we? We always want to connect faith and healing. I certainly want to do that. I certainly want to do that, especially when someone I love is ill or sick. I want to connect faith and healing. There's a favorite memory of mine from when I was serving at Christ Church in Massachusetts, in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And it was a cold, snowy day. Amazing. Wednesday morning communion, 10 o'clock, and then it was snowing, and it was a terrible day, and we're going to have 10 o'clock Holy Communion. Who shows up? Only the Altar Guild. God bless the Altar Guild. This one sweet lady, she showed up and put it all together, and so here we are in this beautiful little chapel. It's just she and me. Said, okay, well, let's just have the sacrament. So we did all that. And at the end of that, I said, well, is there anything I can pray for you for? She said, well, sure, yes. She said, next week, I'm going to have my carotid arteries going to be, they're going to clean them out. You know, do that surgery. She said, would you please pray for that? I said, sure. And so I simply placed my hands on her neck and said that word that Jesus said, Ephphatha, come out, be open. And just thank you, Jesus. Amen. Never said another word to her. I saw her about 2 or 3 weeks later, and she said, oh, yeah, by the way, when I went to the doctor and they began to do the test, they did the sonogram and so forth, she said, that my arteries were clean. I said, what? I mean, I always want to connect faith and healing, but you see, it doesn't always work that way, does it? But we can and must always connect faith and wellness. It's that same wellness that Spafford was talking about in that great hymn when he said, it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. It's that same understanding that happened when Adolph Adam, who wrote that great hymn that we know as O Holy Night, when we sing that and we're coming up season and it says, and my soul felt its worth. It's about the wellness of your soul. The wellness of your soul, the wellness of your soul, shalom, at peace with God. And so no matter what your situation, no matter what your situation of hurt and fear or illness and disease, you can be well because Jesus has declared it so, and we receive it by faith. We say, yes, I trust it. Now, and what that brings me to is one of my favorite words in Scripture, Redeemer. Redeemer. It's one of my favorite words. It's a word that I know sometimes we want to have. See, if you Christians have a secret language, it's not secret, but a few words we need to know. Redemption is that word that tells us what Jesus did for us. But it's a wonderful old word, wonderful Old Testament word. Maybe you remember Joseph in the coat of many colors back in Genesis. Remember Joseph? Joseph sold him into slavery. Joseph, his brothers didn't like him, and he sold him into slavery. He went down to Egypt and was a slave, and then he was a prisoner. But then finally he rises up to become an advisor to Pharaoh. And he saves the grain, the years of famine and so forth come. And then finally the brothers have to come to get grain because they're in a land of famine. So and David and the Egyptians have it. And he meets them and he knows them and they recognize him and they're all afraid, oh, he's going to kill us. And he says, no, he says the most wonderful words of redemption. Listen to these words. He said, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. Now, folks, those are the most powerful words I know in Scripture. No matter what life throws against you, it can be meant for evil, but God will use it for good. Absolutely. And you see, that's our situation. That's our situation that we come with, that we bring today. It's the same thing that Romans, that Paul in Romans 8:28 is saying when he writes, he says, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called into his purpose. What is left out of all? Nothing. All things work for the good. And so therefore, all things can be meant for evil. But God can bring good from it. That's redemption. That's the same thing that Jesus declared on the cross. He says, it is finished. It's finished. So today, we are redeemed. We are redeemed. We declare. Jesus declares on the cross, may we receive it by faith. Jesus, bar David, heals Timaeus, bar Timaeus. He doesn't do it just with a touch. He doesn't do it with mud. He does it with the word because he is the Lord of creation. He who made you can remake you. And in fact, what he does is then he is the word. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's well with your soul. Are you well with your situation? Jesus declares it so. May it be so. And then we proclaim the Redeemer to family, friends, and the world. That's what we do. We say St. John's Parish Church is a mission church. We're declaring that we have a Redeemer. May we share him with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we pray. Always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.